been with the preacher this week. Jesus, he is the preacher among preachers, amen? Charles Spurgeon was titled the preacher among preachers, but whoever gave him that got it wrong. The preacher among preachers is Jesus Christ. And this morning, if you have a copy of God's Word, Acts chapter number 16, we're going to start in verse 25. We're going to read just a few verses. And we're going to dive right on in, and we're going to answer one of the most important questions that ever will be given in your life, one of the most important questions that will ever be asked in your life, one of the most important questions you'll have to answer one day in your life. I searched back this week, and in my mind I thought, man, how long has it been? What in the world have you been doing? Have you ever been there? Man, time has flew. What have you been doing? What must I do to be saved? When I read that in the text, I said, how long has it been since I told them folks how to be saved? You see, it don't change. The plan never changes. The venue changes. You'll be in a different venue. You'll be at different churches. You'll be at revivals. You'll be on the creek bank. You'll be all kind of places. But listen, this morning, the question is the same, and the answer will always be the same. I don't know what you're thinking already, but there's not 10 ways to be saved. There's one way to be saved. There's not many ways to be saved. There's not many gods. There's one God. There's not many lords. There's one Lord. There's not many saviors. There's one Savior this morning, and His name's Jesus Christ. So this morning, the jailer asked a very important question, and I don't know who it's for this morning. I don't know why he would impress this on my heart this week to bring this morning, but I will share what he gave me. What must I do to be saved? I ask you to stand as we reverence the reading of God's Word, Acts chapter number 16, in verse number 25. And the Bible says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake. It always seems funny where Paul is, suddenly things happen. Acts chapter number 9 on his Damascus road, and said, and suddenly a light appeared from heaven. I don't know about you, but I like when God suddenly shows up, don't you? When He suddenly shows up, you've been praying for years, and suddenly He shows up. And there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we're all here. And then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in this house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into this house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Father, once again, I'm in over my head. Lord, I thank you this morning that the plan never changes. The plan's always been the same. Salvation comes through Jesus Christ. And Lord, this morning, I don't know who I'm talking to, but you do, and that's all that matters. And Lord, I pray this morning, maybe they've asked that same question and been looking, what must I do to be saved? Father, I thank you this morning that we can share the gospel with them and share the truth this morning on what it is to be born again. Father, I pray this morning, maybe they've been asked this week the same question to them. What do I do to be saved? And Father, maybe they just can't give that answer, but I pray when they leave this morning, they'll be able to answer this world that this is the way to be saved from all of our sin. Father, I love you and I thank you. I ask you to bless this time, and I ask it in Jesus' most holy, precious name. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's people say it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. What must I do to be saved? Paul and Silas was praying and singing praises unto God, and suddenly a great earthquake, it shook the foundation of the prison that they was at, and the guard, after seeing that, you know what the Bible says, he took out his sword and would have killed himself. Paul said, do yourself no harm, for we're all here. And when he called for a light and he sprang forth and he seen them all there, he asked an amazing question. He said, what must I do to be saved? I believe it was the preacher Charles Spurgeon, they said. Spurgeon, it went all around, and he went looking, he went to church, and he went looking, trying to find a place that he could find out how to be born again. You know, it's good to be able to preach sermons, and it's good to be able to sing, and it's good to be able to come in God's house. But I think every once in a while, and I'd say probably every Sunday night and Wednesday, we ought to be able to tell folks how they can be saved, how they can be saved from hell, fire, and brimstone, out of that place, into a place of heaven through the blood of Jesus Christ. And old Spurgeon said he went to many churches and he heard of many different sermons that were real good. He said, but one Wednesday night he stumbled into an old Methodist church and said it was snowing outside and it was real cold and it was going to call the meeting off. But one deacon stood up and he quoted Isaiah 45:22, and he said, look unto me and be ye saved, for I am God and there is none else. And Spurgeon said right then he fell under conviction and he gave his life to Jesus. This morning I want you to know, when he came forth and he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? That's an answer that I want you to know, that you must be certain that when you've asked that question that you got it right. Friends, this morning it ain't that we got it right, hey, but that we got it right through Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning I want to share with you the plan of salvation. I want to bring that plan to your life this morning. And if you're already saved, you ought to be able to give a big amen. Amen. Hey, I'm not who I used to be. I've been changed through the blood of Jesus Christ. He said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. This morning, if you'll turn with me, we're going to go down the Romans road to salvation. I want you to know this morning the reason it is the Romans road is, you'll find these scriptures in the book of Romans. And Paul, as he comes here to the book of Romans, first off, he starts in Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 23. If you'll turn with me there this morning, what must I do to be saved? This morning, can I say to you, a man, woman, boy, or girl, they can't be saved unless the Holy Ghost of heaven is drawing that individual. We know in the Bible, in John chapter number 6, and we talk when it says that the Spirit will draw, in John chapter number 10, where he says, I am the door, and if any man come, let him come through the door. This morning, I got good news. If you're lost this morning, you can come through the door this morning. Union Chapel Baptist Church, this church is not the door. Hey, can I say this morning that this preacher, I'm not the door. Can I say this morning, our youth pastor, Brother J.D. Markham, he's not the door. There's not a deacon in this place the door this morning. I got good news. There's only one door, and his name's Jesus this morning. He is the door. He is the way. He is the truth, and he is the life. And if you're going to get to heaven and you're going to be saved, it'll only come because you went to that door and you went through it. He says this morning in Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 23, we must first realize that we are a sinner and we're in need of a Savior. Amen? Hey, that we're a sinner. Not that we left our towel on the bed and mom and daddy got mad and they're upset with us, or that we made a bad grade in school. Friends, that's not sin. Sin is when you've sinned against God and you realize you've done God wrong and you need to be saved. The Bible says in Romans 3 and verse number 23, you say, preacher, I've not never sinned. Well, I got good news this morning. The Bible's right and you're wrong. Amen. Woo, glory. Hey, the Bible's right. Amen. Look what he says in Romans 3:23. For all, A-L-L, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He said every one of us, it doesn't matter what your sin is. It doesn't matter what you call sin. It doesn't matter what you classify as sin. This morning, if you've wronged God and you've done wrong in your life, it is sin this morning. You don't have to be a drunk. You don't have to be an adulteress. You don't have to be a dope head. You don't have to be none of these things. This morning, can I say to you, the Bible says that if you've looked upon this or you've done this, and the Bible gives a list of what sin is. This morning, sin is when we've wronged God and we've done wrong. The Bible says if you hate your brother, you've committed a murder in your heart. This morning, what I'm trying to tell you is this, that all have sinned and we've all come short of the glory of God. You say, preacher, what am I going to do if we've all sinned and we've all come short? Oh, Paul didn't leave us there on what must I do to be saved, but he carries us on in. If you say, I'm waiting to right before I die and I ask God to forgive me, I pray he's dealing with your heart at that moment. Hey, but that's not a guarantee. This morning, if you're sitting under the sound of my voice and you know all you have is church membership, and all you have is a water baptism, I beg you in the name of Jesus Christ to give your heart to Jesus. Time is drawing nigh. You say, preacher, what are you talking about this morning? Hey, I want you to know when I die, I'm going to ask the Lord to forgive me and everything's going to be right. You know what? Every person that's in this room, you're going to die with sin in your life. There's going to be that way and there's nothing you can do about it. We have a sin nature. I'm talking about a blood being applied. And when God looks down, he don't see me, but he sees the blood of Jesus Christ. He sees I've been washed, I've been cleansed, and I've been set free. You say, well, I'm going to ask him to forgive me of all my sins when I die. It ain't up to you. It's on the blood of Jesus being applied to your life. He says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He said that we must realize we're a sinner. But number two, turn with me, if you will, to Romans chapter number 6 and verse number 23. You know what I thought when I was lost going to hell? I thought I had to get it all right. I thought I had to quit doing this and I had to quit doing that. Friends, I want you to know, when I met Jesus, I didn't have to quit nothing. Hey, I want you to know the Holy Ghost, it allowed me to give it up. Can I get an amen? Hey, I thought I was going to have to quit having a good time. I thought I was going to have to paint my room a pale color. I thought I was going to have to sell all the things that I like to do. I want you to know I've never been living until I met Jesus. Amen. Until I realized I was a sinner and there was a Savior out there that loved me and he hung on an old rugged cross and he died for me. He said that we must realize that we're a sinner, but in Romans 6:23 this morning, we must realize that sin carries a penalty. Sin carries a penalty, and they've got to be taken care of. Look in Romans 6:23, what the Bible says. What must I do to be saved? Realize you're a sinner. Realize you're a sinner, not your neighbor, not your spouse, not realize you. It's personal that I was. And in 6:23, we must realize that sin carries a penalty. You know, he's not going to look over it, he's not going to wink at it. It carries a penalty and it's going to be handled. Look what the Bible says. For the wages of sin, sin carries a penalty. The wages of sin is death. The wages of sin is death. This morning I want you to know, for that wages of sin is death. Unless the blood's been applied to your life, death will come to that heart door spiritually. He says, for the wages of sin is death. But we also must realize that sin dead is taken care of by the blood of Jesus Christ. He says in verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. But, man, I love that word but, don't you? I love it when he says but. Hey, I'm hell bound, can't do nothing about it but Jesus. Hey, Jesus steps in. And this morning I want you to know, and I just love this. You know what you do with a gift? You can't buy a gift. You can't earn a gift. You can't work up a gift. You can't muster up somebody to give you a gift. A gift must be received. It must be received. I'm asking you this morning, have you ever received salvation this morning? What must I do to be saved is to receive that plan of salvation and the blood of Jesus Christ. He says, but the gift of God. Hey, God knew we was in trouble and he sent his son Jesus. He said, but the gift of God is this. It's eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. He says this morning that we must realize we're a sinner. We must understand that sin carries a penalty. I believe if this world really understood that sin carries a penalty and there's going to be one day that sin's going to be taken care of, they would get to the place they'd want that but in their life. But I want you to know, by the blood of Jesus Christ, I've been made whole. Amen? He says that sin dead, it takes care of by Jesus Christ. Look what he says. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Man, what a gift that is. This morning they was doing the toothpaste and they was putting that toothpaste out on that plate. I seen little McCullough back there, that littlest McCullough boy, as they was putting that toothpaste, and they said, you ever get toothpaste places and your mama sees it and it's just a mess all over everything? He didn't admit to it, but he cut his eyes over at his sister and he got looking at her. Evidently she may leave a mess over there every once in a while. Hey, but I got good news this morning. Hey, the mess in my life, you know what God won't do? He won't bring it to your attention. He won't bring it to your doorstep. You know what God will do? Hey, when I get out of line and I get where I need God in my life and I say, Lord God, I need you to touch me, he'll bring it to my attention. He'll bring it to me. Why? Because I've been washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? And it saves me from all my sin, past, present, and future. is the blood of Jesus Christ. Oh, he says this morning that we must realize you're a sinner. You must realize that sin carries a penalty. You must realize it's a sin that's been taken care of by Jesus Christ. Not by you or your good works, but by Jesus Christ. Man, we get it wrong so many times. How do you know that, preacher? Once we get saved, some reason we get all the judging we want to do, we can judge somebody for some reason. But he's not giving me the authority to judge. He's just giving me the authority to love. When I read that book and I understand that there's a sin debt that needs to be taken care of, I understand that there's a plan he's done set forth. And the fourth thing, I want to show you this, all sums up in this. Realize you're a sinner. I'm lost. If I died right now, I'd spend eternity in hell. I said, God, why did you want me to tell them the plan? They know the plan. All them folks in there are saved. He said, you're taking my job, and that's not your job. You don't know a person in that place's heart. He said, and the Bible says, I don't even know my own heart. It's so wicked sometimes. But there's one heart that I know, and that's the heart of God, and that's this. That he set a plan before us that we don't have to spend eternity in a devil's hell. We can spend eternity in heaven. And he said, even though that I must realize I'm a sinner and that sin carries a penalty, the grace of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus, can save me from all my sin. No longer did I have to live under condemnation and guilt and shame, but I can live under his righteousness and his blood. If you'll turn with me, he said in Romans chapter number 10, I want to show you this. They said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Look at Romans chapter number 10 this morning. What must I do to be saved? You say, why do I have to realize I'm a sinner, preacher? Because I have to get over myself, number one. I have to. I have to get to the place that I realize I've not done good enough and I can't do good enough to get to heaven. But it's by the blood of Jesus Christ. Why must I realize that sin carries a debt, preacher? Because when I realize it carried a debt, I realize the debt that he carried to Calvary. I realize what when he hung on the cross, what he hung there. He hung there for you and he hung there for I. When I realize that the gift of God is something all I can do is receive it, I can't earn it, I can't work my way toward it, all I can do is receive it, it'll change things in my life. And then here's the thing. He says in Romans 10:9, it tells us what to do to be saved. You know why it's so hard? Because it's so simple. There's not a person in heaven did anything different than this right here. And there's not a person, whoo, glory, listen to me, there's not a person in heaven did anything different. But there's not a person in hell did anything different. Whoo, I don't know who this is for. That person in heaven, listen to me, that person in heaven didn't do nothing different. The works that person done, coming to church, doing everything, they ain't there because of that. They're there because of the blood of Jesus Christ. If they got in with any other merit, they got in the wrong way. The only way they got in is by believing in Jesus Christ. Believing that he is the Son of God. That he is the one. That he is the one. And there's not a person in hell. You say, well, because they murder, because they kill, because they've done this, they're in hell. No, my friend, nobody's in hell for that. They're in hell because they don't believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There's no other way. There's nobody in heaven any other way, and there's nobody in hell any other way. It's by the bloodline. It's that blood that's applied to our life. And this morning I'm asking you a question. Is the blood applied to your life? Man, I go around and I'm telling you, you'll hear all kind of things. You'll hear all kind of things. I've heard this. When I die, I don't want to die with any sin in my life. I pray that the Lord gives me time to ask for forgiveness and have no sin in my life. I want to say, I'm sorry. But the odds of you dying with sin in your life is going to be pretty good. It's going to be pretty good that you're going to have some kind of an alter fault. And can I say, if you was going on that, every one of us would go to hell, because every one of us is going to have a little something in our life that we could get right now. Amen? Well, I don't know who I'm preaching to today. Maybe it's be myself, Brother J.D. Every one of us got a little something in our life that we could get a little bit better, do a little bit better. But it ain't about getting better. It's about applying the blood. It's about applying that blood. And when that time comes in your life and you leave this walk of life, it ain't going to be because that what you've done is what he did on the cross, and you just put your faith and trust in Jesus. And he says in Romans chapter number 10 and verse number 9, man, he lays out the plan. But church people, that's me. I can say that because that's me. We distort it. We distort the truth. We try to add to. Well, if you get saved and baptized, if you get saved, baptized, speak in tongues and do all, then you will. No, 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 no. If you add anything to it, you're taking from the blood. Now, there's things come after salvation, but I'm talking about being born. What must I do to be saved and not spend eternity in a devil's hell? There's only one thing that will keep you from spending eternity in the devil's hell, and that's the blood of Jesus Christ being applied to my life and your life too. Nothing else. Nothing else. I'm going with this story. I don't know where I'm going, but it'll be good for somebody. I hadn't been preaching very long. Hadn't had a church yet, and I was at home. Me and my wife, we were sitting in the living room, and a preacher come up. Didn't know I was preaching, didn't know I was saved. He come up, and he knocked on my door. He opened the door. I said, yes, sir. Can I help you? So I'm just out visiting. I want to come by and visit you. So come on in. And we sat down in that, whoo, glory, sat down in that living room. And he started talking to me about being saved, that I know how to be saved. And I said, yes, sir, I've been born again, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Man, I was on fire. Man, I was excited. You know what I mean? And he said, that's good. That's good. He said, but have you been baptized? I stopped and I said, yeah, I've been baptized, but man, let me tell you about the blood, what it's done in my life. He said, but have you done it? And I was like, but the blood. And I went back. And he said, no, listen now. And he went in to tell me that if you're saved, but if you're not done this, and this. And I said, hold up, man. So I'm going to ask you a question. He said, let's hear it. I said, my daddy had cancer, eat up with cancer from top of his head, bottom of his feet. Mama, that's the truth. And I said, he was dying. And I said, a little old preacher from Shake Rag over there, Brother Charles Wharton, thank God for a preacher to go to somebody that's dying. That they ain't got to be up well and doing good and can help the church and tithe, but they're down, ain't got no one. Thank God for that preacher. Amen. Well, I just want to let loose, but I ain't going to. I said I was going to be calm. Thank God for that man of God that'll go and don't want nothing from that person. All he wants is just to make sure, do you know how to be saved? And he comes in that old single wide trailer, and he comes right to the bedside of where my daddy is. And he asked my daddy, did he know Jesus as his personal Lord and Savior? My daddy answered with the very thing that he should have said. He said, no, I don't, but I want to be. My daddy got saved, washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Had brain cancer, bone cancer, had rods run down his arms. Experimental rods. Tried to get him to lift his arms and he couldn't lift them. Doctors told him, said, you can't be baptized, you can't get in water, you can't do this, you'll die. He ain't had a bath in 4 months, mama's having to sponge him. Man of God didn't tell him, no, you got to get in water. No, he said, the blood's enough. Folks, listen to me, I don't care. Paul said, if any other preacher preaches gospel, let him be damned. If any other preacher preach any other gospel but this, that the blood of Jesus Christ is what saves souls, let him be damned. Or if an angel from heaven preaches anything else, it's the blood of Jesus Christ. That's what the book says. I asked that preacher sitting there, I told him that story, and I said, what do you think about my daddy? I said, what do you think about my daddy? I said, he didn't get to be baptized. He sat there and he said, well, I had to go back and ask my pastor. I said, no, buddy. We done here now. What do you think about my daddy? And he said, well, according to the Bible, your daddy's in hell. I said, this conversation's over and there's the door. That man got up and went out of my house. And I thank God that day in my life, not because it was my daddy, but you got people in your life the same way. You got people in your life the same way. If they don't need to think they got to do a work to get to heaven. They just need to know the blood's enough. That blood of Jesus Christ is enough in a man or a woman's life. And I told God that day I'd already started preaching. And I told God, if anybody ever asks me what it takes to be saved, I'm going to tell them what the book says. And I want to tell you this morning what the book says. And I don't know what you're going through in your life. I don't know what you're dealing with. I don't know what's swelling up on the inside of you. I don't know what you have to put up in a week's time. But I want you to know the blood is enough. The blood is enough. You tell that old Satan, the blood is enough. Brother Garrett, he can't come against the bloodline. He's got to flee. He can't come against it. He can come against the water. He can come against, but he can't come against the blood of Jesus Christ. And the Bible says this, and I want to share it with you. Romans chapter number 10. What must I do to be saved? The Bible says in Romans 10, 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, or you're going to have to open your mouth, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, or you're going to confess that he's Lord, and shalt believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, not a denomination, listen to me, there's no telling how many of these denominations has got it wrong, including the Baptist. Listen to me, it's Bible. It's Bible this morning. Man, that's my heart this morning. When I come in, he said, what must I do to be saved? He didn't say join the Baptist church. He said, what must I do to be saved? Get out of this sinful state. He said, this is what you do. This is what you do. This morning, if you're living in sin and you're bound down and you don't know what to do, give it to Jesus. Come to this altar. I wonder who's got enough grit and enough gut about him to say, I'm tired of this life and I got to get to Jesus. Whew. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession. I confess, Lord God, that I'm a sinner and I'm in need of a Savior. Come into my life. Wash me. Make me clean. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Oh, please save me. Oh, for the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Oh, there's no difference. No difference how bad or how good you've been. It's all sin. Without Jesus, it's all sin. Between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich in all that call upon him. And here's where Mr. Calvinist, you're going to have to back up and get out of the way. Well, some of you can go to heaven, some of you got to go to hell. You was chosen when you was born to go to heaven, or no, get back. My Bible tells me, for whosoever will. For whosoever. This morning, you're a whosoever. The world may have told you, you're too bad to be saved. You're not good enough. Oh, everybody in this room is good enough to be saved, because he's why he died for you. He's seen the goodness in you. He wants you to have a home in heaven. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What am I saved from, preacher? Troubles and trials? No. No, that's coming to the lost and the saved. Death in my family? No, that's coming to all of us. Sickness? No, that's coming. What are you saved from, preacher? I'm saved from hell. And that puts a pep in my step. It gets me up every morning to stand behind this sacred desk, knowing that I was headed straight to a devil's hell. Now I'm going to heaven. I wrote this down if you don't know how to pray. Father, I know I'm a sinner. And I do believe that you raised your son Jesus from the dead. And here's what I wrote. I thought Sister Chris Cantrell had done the card that I pass out wrong. I've been passing them everywhere. I said, oh no, I done got the wrong, what? And I had on my card, I do believe that you raised your son Jesus from the dead. And it said, to come into my heart. And I said, no, that's supposed to be come into my heart. No, it's right on the card. That you raised your son Jesus to come in to my heart. You raised your son Jesus up out of that grave, not to sit on the right hand and do nothing, but you say you raised him from the dead to come into my heart and to save me from my sin. Let me give it to you. Just as I'm tangled up here, somebody's tangled up this morning. You know what to do. Save me and I receive the gift of eternal life. In Jesus' name, amen. At that moment, all you have to do is believe it. Is believe it. But here's where we're at in the world we live in. If I see it, I'll believe it. You know what he told there? He said, rich man lifted up his eyes from hell and he said, send someone from the dead that they'll believe. He said, oh man, they got the prophets. They got what they need. If one did rise from the dead, they wouldn't believe it. Folks, this morning you got to get to that place in your life that you have faith and say, what must I do to be saved? Just call on the name of the Lord. This morning we're going to have a time of invitation. What do we got for invitation? Kneel at the cross. We're going to change it. Game changer. You're going to kill me. And if you can't play it, come up here and sing with them anyway. I want you involved. I have decided. I have decided to follow Jesus. Do you know it? You know it? We're going to get close enough. My heart this morning's prayer that he's put on me this week is, what must I do to be saved? What must I do? You see, he didn't say, what must my wife do? What must my... No, he said, what must I do? What must I do? I can't fix you, Braden. I can't fix you, man. I can't. I can't even fix myself. Why would I try to fix you? But I can tell you something. Jesus Christ can fix anybody in this room. All you have to do, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in thine heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. With the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. This morning, my question to you is this. Are you saved? As our ladies come. Father, I don't know why or who it's for. And I thank you that I don't know. Lord, this is a time of invitation. I'm not inviting nobody to come to this church or to this preacher. I'm inviting them to come to an old-timey altar and do business with an old-timey God. Lord, maybe this morning they've been caught up in all these things that we've got to do. The only thing that has to be done is to be born again by the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, I believe in this world that we live in, there's a lot of confusion. But the Bible makes it so clear and so spot on. What must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus. Father, it's your invitation. You do the work. Let the Holy Ghost touch somebody this morning. I ask it in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people said.